We live in a system that wants you dependent. The government has shut down more farmers than they have human traffickers from the Epstein files. We live in a crazier world than 1984. You just can't see it. We gotta figure out a system that is not fragile. And when you put this all together, this isn't just about homesteading. It's about a way of living, a way of choosing to step outside of what you've been told is the only option. A lot of people assume you have to be born into this lifestyle or raised on land to be able to do this. But that was not my story at all. I remember how overwhelming it felt in the beginning. Just because you didn't grow up a certain way doesn't mean you can't live a certain way. Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. You know I love a good conspiracy theory, but if you're new here or maybe you've been following along for a while but life has pulled you away for a season, I want to take a moment to slow this down and really reintroduce myself in a way that feels grounded and aligned with where I'm at right now, because this space has grown. It's shifted and I have grown along with it. I have been homesteading for almost a decade now, and I know there are people tuning in at all different points in this journey trying to understand what homesteading is, what I stand for, and why I talk about the things I do. And the truth is, at the core of everything, this has always been about one thing, which is helping people remember that they are more capable than they've been led to believe, and they can take care of themselves and their families, and that they don't have to be completely dependent on systems that were never designed with their best interest in mind. That is the core of my message and what I want you to take home and what I want to talk about. Through my homesteading experience and waking up, that is how I have been able to see the system and realize that I am capable. And if I came from a background where I did not grow up doing this, I know that anybody can do this. Today's episode is sponsored by my own all-natural skincare line, Arvati. If you're tired of the system, dealing with stubborn skin issues, or simply looking for truly clean, nourishing skincare, this is exactly why I created it. From deeply nourishing tallow balms and gentle oil cleansers to targeted serums and my newest hair serum, every product is made in small batches with intentional, high-quality ingredients your skin actually recognizes. You can explore everything I make in small batches at Arvati.com. When I think about why I even started sharing my life, my experiences, my homesteading journey, it always comes back to this deeper pull towards self-sufficiency, towards building a life that is not fragile, that doesn't fall apart the moment something in the outside world shifts. I want people to see that there is another way to live, one that is slower, more intentional, and rooted in real skills that actually matter. So my podcast isn't just about homesteading. It's about reclaiming a way of living that used to be normal, where people knew how to feed themselves, care for their families, and think critically about the world around them. It's about stepping out of that autopilot and realizing that you have more control over your life than you have been led to believe. We live in a system that wants you dependent. And when I talk about living a way that is not fragile, if you look at the recent events where it kind of looks like there is maybe an energy crisis or shutdown on the way, I spoke about this just recently. You know, during COVID, when there was rumblings of countries shutting down and weird things going on, that's kind of what this feels like, but with energy, because we have large egg producers also going up into flames. We have some countries who are already making rations on fuel. So when I talk about living a lifestyle that isn't fragile, it's not dependent on these systems. If fuel skyrockets tomorrow, if food skyrockets tomorrow, you are okay where you are at. Your family is safe. Your family can eat. Your family is prepped. And that is the core, not being dependent on the system. But the other part of my message is being able to see the system for what it is. And I'm going to talk about that because I grew up inside of the matrix, and I feel like a lot of us grew up inside the matrix. So it's really acquiring another lens of how to see the world and our events. And I think it's important to say this clearly because a lot of people assume you have to be born into this lifestyle or raised on land to be able to do this. But that was not my story at all. I did not grow up homesteading. I did not grow up milking animals or grinding flour or thinking about where my food came from in a deep way. This is something I stepped into about 7 years ago, almost a decade now. And I remember how overwhelming it felt in the beginning, because when you start looking at everything you don't know, it can feel like you're behind or like it's too much to even start. But what I've learned is that no one starts out knowing everything. And the only difference between someone who is living this life and someone who isn't is that one person decided to begin. That's actually a comment I get a lot of, well, you haven't been homesteading forever and you're just posing. If we have that mentality, then how can anybody come into this lifestyle? I also understand that there was a huge surge of homesteading during 2020 when the system was collapsing and everybody was frantic, realizing they needed to return to their roots. And now that we are about 6 years post that, people are starting to realize, oh, homesteading's not quite for me. And there's been a collapse of people realizing that it is a lot of work and they are leaving the homestead back to the city. So there's these ebbs and flows of homesteading, but you don't have to grow up in it to be able to do it. I feel like that, how would I even describe that? That is such a cringe mentality to think, oh, because that's like saying, oh, you're a dentist now. Well, you didn't grow up in a family that did dentistry. You can't do dentistry or whatever it is. Anybody can do anything. And that's what I love about homesteading, because it is such a return to our ancestors, all of our ancestors. It's a return to this knowledge that feels inherent. Like right now, I'm getting ready to forage the plants that are growing on my property. I have mustard seed, I have clover, I have dandelions, which I absolutely love. And I've learned all the medicinal properties of what grows around me. And that just feels inherent. That feels like something my grandma would do and what I do and I'm returning to. Did I grow up doing that? No, I grew up in a family that sprayed the dandelions in the yard. So just because you didn't grow up a certain way doesn't mean you can't live a certain way. And I personally have felt such a connection being here and homesteading, or when I started homesteading just in my kitchen. When people ask me how to start homesteading, I say in your kitchen, the sourdough starter, cooking from scratch. But you can do it. That beginning doesn't have to be dramatic. And in fact, I would say it shouldn't be. Like I said, it starts in the kitchen. So it starts with something as simple as cooking your own food, learning ingredients, and understanding what you are putting into your body. I mean, you only get one body. So slowly building from there, because once you start paying attention to that, it opens the door to everything else, in my opinion. You start asking where your food comes from. You start asking how it's grown, what's been added to it. And before you know it, you're making different choices without even forcing it. That's how this lifestyle grows. It's not through perfection. And I understand why people are leaving homesteading at such a fast rate right now, because it can be overwhelming. So you don't have to be perfect. So go into this, or however you want to break down the system, knowing that it's not going to be perfect, but those small little steps in the direction that you want to go, that's what matters. And as those shifts start to happen, something else naturally follows, which is the desire to question, like I mentioned, Because once you realize that something as basic as food isn't always what it seems on the shelves, it makes you wonder what else you've accepted without really looking into it. So that curiosity becomes a huge part of your life. And it's a huge part of my life, and I encourage it, because questioning doesn't mean rejecting everything. It just means being willing to look deeper, to not just take things at face value, and to think for yourself in a world that often rewards people for doing the opposite. Seriously, we live in a system that, if you think about it, from the beginning, when you are 5 years old or even before that, you're put into a school system where you're not rewarded for being independent or being an independent thinker or thinking outside the box. You are rewarded for staying in line. You are rewarded for raising your hand. You are rewarded for doing exactly as the teacher says, checking those boxes, getting the right answer according to the teacher. If you have different ideas, those are squashed. And that starts at a young age. So you are conditioned throughout the school system to not think for yourself. And that's what's rewarded, because when you look at the big picture, the system is prepping you to become an employee. So think about it. You're at school for 40 hours a week. You come out of school when you're 18. You go to university, get into a ton of debt that you then have to pay on for the rest of your life. Well, how are you going to pay on that? You go and get a 40-hour per week job. That's what you've been conditioned to. And it's so crazy, because I spent my younger life in and out of the school system because I homeschooled some, I went to school some, and then I dropped out of high school. I'm a high school dropout, and I am so grateful my parents allowed me to do that. Of course, I dropped out, and then what I did was a combined high school year with some college, and then we called it good. So I only had 2-ish years of high school, and then I was sent out into the world. And if you think about that, that is so unconventional. I remember my parents were judged for that. Like, how could you let your daughter do that? Like, she is going to fail. Well, when you shove kids into a box, how are they going to actually prosper if they don't learn any independence, how to think for themselves, what brings them joy and happiness? And I'm just very happy my parents allowed me to do that. So that's maybe something you might not know. Yeah, I dropped out of high school. I came home one day. I said, Mom, I don't want to go back. And she said, okay, well, let's look into other options. Shout out to my mom and dad. So that is one very easy thing to look at, is our school system. And then you have the bigger system that it feeds into. I like to picture the school system as you have this little pure child going into it, and rainbows and butterflies and beautiful things around them. And then they go through the conveyor belt of school and they come out with their graduation hat, which is actually symbolic. That's another conspiracy for another day. But they come out and they're just robots, because they weren't allowed to step out of line. They had to raise their hands. They had to do what everybody else around them was doing. And that's what they got rewarded for. So that's what I mean when I say the system does not reward you for thinking independently. It rewards you for doing the opposite and for following along. And it is difficult sometimes when you have to stand on business and stand by yourself and what you know. That curiosity for life has led me down some paths that genuinely are unconventional. Some people will judge it or look at it differently, but now here I am looking at old world fairs and what those represent. I'm looking into historical timelines that don't quite add up. So this is my conspiracy side, and I even love to dive into things like dragons and ancient texts and artwork and questioning where certain biblical events may have actually taken place. I have a podcast episode on that, and I know that can sound out there if you're hearing this for the first time, all these crazy conspiracy theories. It's not about trying to prove something extreme. It's just about noticing these patterns, asking questions, and being open to the idea that there may be more to the story than we've been given. And heavy on that pattern recognition, because if you can recognize patterns in life, you can see what is coming down the pipes. So like when I say right now, it kind of seems maybe there's like an energy crisis on the horizon. There is definitely something on the horizon, because we have all these comets that are happening all over the world. And me and my conspiracy mind is thinking, oh, Game of Thrones, when they saw the comet in the sky, it meant that the dragons were back. And I have been diving into the rabbit hole of dragons versus dinosaurs, which I also have another podcast episode on that. If you want to learn our real history of dragons versus dinosaurs. So I started just questioning food. And now here I am questioning our entire timeline, questioning everything I have learned in my entire life. And I am okay with that. And I will discuss here soon how I got to this point because it can be very uncomfortable. But I am a homesteader who is obsessed with dragons. I actually am slowly building a little collection of old dragon artwork and book art. I want to be the first homestead with a dragon. I know that sounds insane, but dragons definitely existed and still do. And again, I did a whole episode going through why I believe this and why I definitely do not believe in dinosaurs. But once you start asking those questions, here I was in the kitchen like, hey, where did my food come from? Now I'm saying maybe to everything. Slowly your eyes will start to open and you won't be able to go back to sleep. And when I say sleep, it's like the Matrix. If you've seen the movie The Matrix, they're sleeping in pods and then they're being harvested, their energy's being harvested, the people, and they live in a fake reality. So when you start questioning what's in your food, soon you're going to be like, wait, I'm going to question dinosaurs in our timeline too. Wait, dragons might actually be a thing. Wait, the Smithsonian is actually a cover up for, you know, old artifacts. And then they quickly whisk things away. Wait, there's Egyptian hieroglyphs recorded down in the Grand Canyon. And now the Grand Canyon has closed off a majority of it to the public. Wait, the sun actually isn't a burning ball 93 million billion miles away, and it might actually be local. Wait, when you zoom into stars, they're not burning balls of gas and fire and flames. So you can see where it ends up and where I am. And I am very confident in this. And I am so happy in my day to day from milking goats to hopefully being able to have a dragon on my homestead. I absolutely cannot go back to sleep. But at the same time, I know that when you talk about these kinds of things, people will make assumptions. And I have seen the comments, okay? I've seen people say that I must be part of something like the Illuminati, or that there's something hidden behind what I'm doing and I am controlled opposition. And I want to be really clear about this, okay? Because that matters to me to say it directly. That is not who I am. I am a follower and believer of Jesus Christ, and that is the foundation of my life. He is the foundation of my life, my rock. And that's where my values come from. That's what grounds me. And that's what guides me even when I'm exploring ideas that are outside the norm. So my intention has never been to confuse people, but to encourage you to question and to seek truth, whatever that truth is for you. I'm here for it. So part of where some of those assumptions may come from is the fact that I ended up on the Dr. Phil show, which I know can look a certain way from the outside. Like, people were like, how'd you get on there? But the truth is, it wasn't some big calculated move. A producer reached out to me. And at the time I thought, you know, why not? It felt like an opportunity to try something new, way out of my comfort zone. And I said yes. And looking back, there could have been more going on behind the scenes. Like, was it a setup? There's just so much about the world that most of us don't fully understand. And I don't claim to either. But at the end of the day, it does not define me and it doesn't change for what I stand for. And honestly, I needed to just do an entire episode dedicated to the Dr. Phil experience because it was unique. And I still believe I was on the stage with the Illuminati. I told Dr. Phil to his face, and if you notice, he never denied it. I will straight up deny it. I also have all the footage of me from behind the scenes when I was being interviewed, and I talked a lot about Jesus. I have those videos, and when I say it was a unique experience, it truly was. And I'm grateful for it because getting out of your comfort zone can be a good thing. Was I so nervous? I was so nervous. Like, Leaving my homestead, I don't do very often. I remember my goats were in milk too. It was a quick down and back trip, but I am grateful for the experience. And I also understand why people question thinking I'm controlled opposition, because I went on and I was questioning those things. And so you do have people where their position is to question, but they don't really believe it. They're in the system themselves. And so they gain people's trust and then slowly lead them down what I would just say the satanic route, right? You have Satan's world and then you have Jesus Christ. I stand for Jesus Christ. I am not a member of the Illuminati or any weird club, secret club. I stand for him and I love his truth. And so that's what I try to bring through my life. So let's just get that out of the air. And I still get messages about it to this day, like, you must be controlled opposition. You're a part of the Illuminati. I get it, but I'm not. Dr. Phil never denied it. I will deny it. What I care about and what I will continue to talk about is bringing awareness to these systems that shape our lives, even from when we're little babies, especially when it comes to health. So when you start looking into big pharma, into how certain treatments are pushed, how symptoms are often managed rather than the root causes addressed, it raises questions. And again, the goal is not fear, it's just awareness, okay? It's helping people step back and ask, hey, does this make sense? Is there another way, another something I could do for my body? Is there something more aligned with how the body was actually designed to function? Big pharma, all these systems, big food, they all go together. So that mindset is exactly what led me to create my skincare line, Arvati. It didn't start as a business idea. It started with me helping my dad. He was struggling with eczema and nothing he tried was giving him lasting relief. Everything seemed to be temporary. And I remember thinking, there has to be something that's simple that will actually work with the body instead of against it, like instead of all these chemical formulas. So I started experimenting with tallow, something that has been used for generations, and I made him a balm. And why this is so pivotal to me in my life is because I remember my dad, he was self-conscious to go out in public because his eczema was so bad. And then when they wanted to give him steroids, I remember looking up the steroid side effects. And if you didn't know, you can actually have steroid withdrawal. So once, you know, the steroids work for a little bit, but then you stop using them. And then the withdrawals can actually sometimes be way worse than whatever original skin condition you had. And I did not want that for him. So that's why I crafted him a tallow balm. And it worked, not in an overnight flashy way, but in a steady, real way that actually supported his skin. And so from there, people started asking about it, trying it, sharing their results. And this Arvati has grown into something I never could have planned. And now I've been able to help thousands of people who were in that same place as my dad, looking for something that actually works, something that doesn't rely on the harsh ingredients or constant dependency. And some of my absolute favorite stories are when I get sent the success stories of little kids or babies who are dealing with serious skin reactions, and my tallow's been able to help them, because I know how emotional that can be watching a family member go through it. And so when I get these messages from moms, I am just so grateful, or anybody who's just been struggling for so long with something, I am so grateful I get to help so many people. Outside of all of this, I'm someone who genuinely loves simple things. I feel like that's why I live on a homestead. I love going on walks, especially when everything is quiet and you can just feel grounded in your surroundings. I love gardening, not just for the food, but for the process, the patience, the connection to the seasons. I do make myself laugh though, because if anyone listening has ever played Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley, you probably have found yourself wanting to homestead. It's basically like a cartoon 3D farming simulator, and I loved these these games. I played them for hours and hours when I was younger. I would stay up late playing them on my Game Boy Advance and my Nintendo. And now that I'm doing it in real life, I now understand why the little character in the video game would get fatigued so fast when they're out tilling the land. Well, it turns out that farm work is a lot of work. I also love cooking, taking real ingredients and turning them into something nourishing. And of course, that has taken practice. Don't get frustrated if you start cooking from scratch and not all of your creations taste great. I've been there. It's going to take some time. Even with whatever skill you are learning, just know it's going to take some time and be patient with yourself. Another thing that you may know about me, especially if you follow me on my socials, is I am obsessed with raw milk. This was super crazy a few years ago online when talking about raw milk was just crazy talk. It's now more normalized and the system is still trying to silence the raw milk movement. And I mean, the government has shut down more farmers than they have human traffickers from the Epstein files. So this really tells you what their agenda is. So I keep Nigerian dwarf goats and I milk them by hand. Again, I did not grow up doing this. I was actually drawn to the city life when I was younger. And even then I moved to Southern California for a bit to pursue that city lifestyle. After about 4 months though, I realized it was not for me. And I just went with the flow of where life took me. And now here I am on my homestead. And I love this homestead. I never see myself leaving. The era right now is that the rush of homesteading is over, like I spoke about from COVID in 2020. Because of people who jumped in and realized it really wasn't for them, well, it's most definitely for me. And again, I don't ever see myself not homesteading. Even if it is constant chaos with animals and unexpected events, it is just a huge part of me. I feel like there's just always something going on. So my goats are in the period or the era right now. It's spring of giving birth. So I've only had one goat give birth so far out of three that will be this season. And when I was with her and she was giving birth, and I'm so happy I was there because she fell onto two of her babies. If I wasn't there, they could have been smothered. There's always things of animals getting out. And because I live in farmland, if my dogs get out, that's super nerve-wracking. Because if dogs go and chase livestock, they can be put down. So there's always the chaos of keeping an eye on that. There's always the chaos of when storms blow in, that some of the structures are going to fail. Or I even had one of my beautiful apple trees, mature apple trees, 2 summers ago, just split in half because the winds just got insane. And for whatever reason, from the foundation, it split. She still produces, and I still love that apple tree. I was so sad when that happened. Also, on a recent storm, I had part of my greenhouse covering get taken off. I now have sheep on the homestead, and in setting up their enclosure, I, not knowing rams, because I've never been around sheep, I didn't raise sheep, this is my first time, I realize I need more sturdy gates because I have a ram who has completely rammed in a gate. Or in the winter when you have your food storage in the cellar and then mice somehow end up in the root cellar and then you have snakes down in the root cellar because they're after the mice. That happened a few winters ago. So there's always something going on. Even with the chaos and the stress sometimes, I love it and I have had to learn how to manage the stress when there's a million things going on at once and it feels chaotic. My piece of advice to you that I tell myself frequently is don't act like everything is an emergency. Not everything in life is an emergency, even if it seems to be. And that little piece of advice has helped me get through a lot here on the homestead. You may not know this, but I also used to be super into the Matrix as well. I believed everything the doctor said. I didn't question too much. I was sent the documentary on Flat Earth in 2019 that kind of blew my mind, and I was open to it. But what really woke me up big time and sent me on the road to just waking up was the 2020 election. This was a huge jolt for me in the Matrix and my little pod. I was so invested in it that it ended up being so weird. And I started to question my own beliefs in the system and what I thought was real. Then I came upon the idea that viruses aren't actually real. So then I sat there for a while wondering what the COVID shutdown was really about. And then I started to read on vaccines. Huge shout out to past me for being open to these things. I'm so grateful for that because these ideas do sound crazy, right? Like, wait, viruses? They're not real? Well, then what was the shutdown about? Well, you go look at the timeline, which I've spoken of. I did a video on when you look at the timeline of the 5G rollout, 3G rollout, the radio rollout, they all coincide with, you know, flus. It really is crazy. And I'm just happy that when I was in my little Matrix pod, because that's what I grew up in, okay? I would go to the doctor and I just trusted everything that they said. When I went for my skin once for acne, I came out with a prescription, two prescriptions, and one of them was an antibiotic. And I just took it and didn't realize there were other solutions for my skin. So in thinking about all this, as I was sitting there in my pod, it was really that election where I was like, wait, this seems weird. Was this fake? Is Joe wearing a mask? And I did talk about that on Dr. Phil and said, you're not going to gaslight me. And then guess what? In the Epstein files, they ended up saying that that wasn't the real Joe and that there was cloning facilities. So, you know, it took a few years for people to realize, you know, I was right. That was that there was something going on with Joe. Okay. But I'm grateful I was able to accept that and see that. And be open to it. This ultimately led me to just having a different lens for all this. But more than anything, I love spending time with my family because that's what all of this is really for. I'm very close with my family and they are very involved in what I do with Arvati and what goes on here at the homestead. I've even taught my mom how to milk goats. And it's just, it's so cool, this full circle, almost just moment in my life of I never grew up milking goats. And then I got to teach, I got to learn how to milk animals from my neighbors when I moved out to the homestead. And then I got to teach my mom how to milk goats. And now my parents drink raw milk. So like I said, it's this return to our roots. And my parents' generation was so disconnected. And then this generation, my generation has come in and said, hey, there's something going on here. Hey, that COVID lockdown was weird. That election was weird. We gotta figure out a system that is not fragile. And when you put this all together, you start to realize that this isn't just about homesteading. It's about a way of living, a way of thinking, a way of choosing to step outside of what you've been told is the only option. That's all of this, homesteading conspiracies. It's about building something that is stable, intentional, and rooted in truth, even when that truth challenges what you have always believed. There is a quote from the book 1984 by George Orwell that I absolutely love. I love that book. You read it and you realize we actually live in something worse than 1984, but they give us 1984 to read in high school. And they're like, oh, wow, yeah, we don't live under Big Brother. Wow, this is so crazy. We live in a crazier world than 1984. You just can't see it. But there's a quote that says, the party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. So when I'm talking about all these conspiracies and all these truths that I've stumbled upon for myself, it's okay if you have different truths, okay? But I am not going to deny the truth that I see with my eyes, the truth that I hear with my ears, the truth that I inherently feel, all right? My favorite conspiracy theory, and I've talked about this a lot, is the world fairs and those old buildings. I have a podcast episode on that where I dive into what could they have possibly been covering up with these old buildings? And if you pay attention, they're still taking out these old buildings. And that ties into the religion I was involved with that also had an old building. I love the truth of these old buildings. They don't lie, and I cannot deny that truth. Seeking out that truth has really been a core part of this whole entire homesteading journey for me. And I know people, the traditional homesteaders who are like, oh, the conspiracy theorists, why'd they have to come in and ruin everything? We were just planting our carrots and, you know, teaching people how to garden. And that's great. But I feel like there's a space for everyone. And we need to be questioning things and looking at things differently if we really want things to change. But I also recognize everyone's journey is different. And if you have a different truth for you, that's great. And I'm here for it. I just will never deny my own. And if you are listening to this and feeling like it's too much, or like you don't know where to begin, or I'm crazy, I just want to remind you that you don't have to do everything at once. You can start where you're at. You can start in your kitchen. You can start questioning whatever. You don't have to question anything, okay? You can just go through life however you want to. But if you want to come out of the system, the changes are small. It doesn't have to be perfection. I just am here to ask you to open your mind, to look at things in a different light. And it's difficult. We're going to go back to the school system. When you've gone through that school system and you've been conditioned to think a certain way, it is so hard. It is hard to get out of that mold. I've been there. I even remember when I had family initially who was questioning vaccines before I did. And I was like, whoa, how could you do that? Whoa. And I hadn't even read the inserts yet, but I was just so conditioned, like instantly, like you put up your walls and you say, how could you dare question Big Pharma? And you know how deep their pockets go. I hope this has been a nice reintroduction or introduction to me. You might be thinking, wow, this homesteader lady is off of her rocker. What is she even talking about? But you have to understand too, this has taken me years to get here. If you would have told me 10 years ago that, hey, you know, our timeline is weird, vaccines are bad, viruses don't exist, our food system is controlled, they have cloning facilities, Hollywood is satanic, I would have thought you were off of your rocker. And now here I am. I'm the crazy lady who says, hey, the TV is evil. You might want to turn off the TV. I'm the village crazy lady, and I am okay with that. But if you so happen to enjoy this and want to open your mind, I would ask that you stick around and go listen to the other episodes where I dive into different conspiracies. I dive into so many homesteading topics too, like keeping dairy animals, keeping chickens, building a food storage, which again, if you're paying attention, you need a food storage like today. Like start building your food storage, start learning how to can, get a freeze dryer. There is a quote that says, he who controls the food controls the people. So make sure your food storage is in order, especially with the weird energy crisis coming down the pipes. You want to make sure that if there is a blackout, if fuel prices skyrocket, you can still feed your family. And as you move forward, just stay curious, pay attention, ask questions, be willing to look a little deeper, even when it's uncomfortable, because the more you do that, the more you start to see things clearly, and the more you realize you have more control, more capability, and more freedom than you were ever led to believe in this system. And that's what my podcast, the Gubba Homestead Podcast, is really about. I am so happy that you are here, because we are going to continue waking up together. We're going to continue learning how to homestead together. I want to teach you how to build a food storage, how to keep chickens. Chickens are so amazing for a food supply, by the way. I've been going out there every morning and I'm getting like, 6 to 8 eggs, and they are even at their full capacity of laying. I'm probably going to be at like 16 eggs a day here soon. I absolutely love my chickens. I also hatch some of my eggs, and the little chicks are being raised. I have them in a little brooder with the heat lamp and everything. I am keeping an eye on the heat lamp because I have had a fire with heat lamp my first year. So I have learned to keep an eye that is never plugged in when I leave my house. I want to teach you about diet and how you can nourish your body, how you can feed your animals a raw diet successfully, like I do with my dogs. They are so healthy. And when I talk about the system in my podcast, I'm talking about all of it. Big Pharma is together with Big Food. You have Big Pet Food, who is together with Big Pharma. And you have these big corporations buying out all of these independent vet clinics. And then guess what? These vets now have a quota to meet to push Big Pharma products. Like all of these systems are in bed together, and it makes me sick. And I want to live in my own system, my own homestead outside of that. And I know it's possible. You can do it from wherever you are at. An apartment, you don't need land. A house in the city, you do not need land. That's one misconception people think. I'm here to tell you, okay, if I grew up in the Matrix, not having a homestead or anything, and now being able to do it, you can too. But again, thank you so much for hanging out with me, for being here, for listening to this introduction, and I hope you stick around. And if you want to learn more, I have a website, gubbahomestead.com, that is filled with homesteading resources and some conspiracies on there. So make sure to go check it out, and I will see you on the next episode. Bye!